All right, we're back in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We've been going through some of the issues in verses 14 through 21. And we're just about to enter verse 17 here, which is the verse I really wanted to get to and talk about. Let's just read down from 14 through 17. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we've gone down through verse 14, 15, and we talked last week, verse 16, where he talks about, he brings up this issue of the flesh. And how we're not to look after the flesh anymore. We're not to look after people, after what they're doing in this world, after their prosperity, after anything that has to do in the flesh. And then he brings up an interesting comment in the end of verse 16. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. And he refers this back to Christ's earthly ministry and says, even though you've known Christ in his earthly ministry and how Christ came in the flesh to fulfill the prior. Turn, next to that, you should have Romans chapter 9, verse 5. Because that can be a confusing verse. But if you understand what he's talking about in Romans chapter 9, verse 5, when Christ came to the world and he was born of Mary, it says in Romans chapter 9, we're starting verse 4, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. And those promises and covenants was made with Israel. And they were the ones that had everything. Verse 5, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. When Christ came in the flesh, he came to fulfill those promises and those covenants that were given to the Jews, to the Israelites. And so when we are back over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, and Paul starts to write, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. Yes, we knew Christ. And Paul had an understanding of what Christ came and what he went to do in the flesh. Yet now henceforth know we him no more. And so those issues that Christ came in the flesh to satisfy with Israel are going to have no bearing on us, because we are not going to be operating in a fleshly type of situation anymore. Something's going to change here. We're not going to be operating in the flesh. God's not going to be dealing with us through your flesh, because there's going to be something different, something new that he's going to institute. And so verse 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Verse 17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And today we're going to talk about, therefore if any man be in Christ. You see, Paul, he just gets done telling you, don't look after Christ after the flesh. But then the next thing he writes is, you can be in Christ. And that's sort of, that should help us understand. He says, we're not in Christ in his flesh, but you can be in Christ spiritually. And he's going to set up this dichotomy now between flesh and spiritual. So he says, you don't know him after the flesh, but yet you're supposed to be in him. And that would tell me I'm not supposed to be in him or following him in his flesh. I'm going to be in him and following him in his spiritual ministry that he gave to Paul. And that's what this is all going to be about. But there's two people in Scripture that Paul's referring to. One is Christ. You can be in Christ. And the other one is flesh. And who was the first person to come in the flesh? It was Adam. Oh boy, this marker is really dead. It was Adam. And so Paul's setting up this dichotomy between Adam and Christ. And you can be in one, oh, this one's no good either, or the other. And that we're going to go through some of these issues, see if this one works. Okay, yeah, got a purple one that works. Okay, so he tells us, you don't look after the flesh, but yet you can be in Christ. And turn over, by the time you get to here, you should have been, you know, familiar with Romans, because by the time you get to 2 Corinthians, hopefully you've read through Romans. But turn over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And I want to take us through Adam and Christ and compare the two and compare the flesh with the spiritual and compare you're either in Adam or you're going to find yourself in Christ. There's no other person you can be in. As we get into this, in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gifts by grace which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." And see, as we get in, we're going to go back to verse 12. As we're going to go through this passage, you're going to see this one man, and he's going to turn out to be Adam. And you're going to see another man come into play, and that's going to be Jesus Christ. Go back up to verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." Who was the one man that brought sin into the world? Adam. And we know that from the account in Genesis. Adam brings sin into the world. That's what he did. He sinned, and he brings sin into the world. And death by sin. And because he brought sin into the world, he brings what? Death. So in Adam, you have sin and death. And death by sin. So that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, we are all the children of Adam. Each one and every one of us come from Adam. None of us can claim a different physical father other than Adam. And this is why evolution is so terrible. Because Scripture points to the fact that we all have one ancestry. We all have one flesh that we all derive from, and that's Adam. And we all inherit sin because we are all the children of Adam. Evolution teaches we really don't have a similar origin. You know, you could have came from a different type of protozoan, and you could have came from a different type of, you know, whatever they're saying we come from now. They don't really like to say we come from monkeys anymore. But, they, you know, according to them, we could all have different lineages back to some primordial soup, sewer mix. And with that, we you could almost make the case that we're all, you know, I don't have the same traits as, you know, I don't have the same inheritance, same things as this one or that one, because, you know what, you can claim different biological substances as your beginning. But with Scripture, we all come from one Adam. And because we all come from one Adam, we all inherit and have the same thing that he had, which was sin. Now, your hair and your eye color and your body height and stature could be different. Those are different variables. But there's one variable that doesn't change in the human genetic code, and that's sin. And so evolution tries to get around this fact, and it tries to get around God and His message and put us over here where we can have an excuse for sin and not come, you know, try and be underneath its condemnation. But the Scriptures don't allow it. The Scriptures take us all the way back to Adam. And by one man, and that's why, you know, when the Bible writes something, we're to believe it. And we're to put our faith in it. No matter what society might say around you. You know, there's they say the earth is billions and billions of years old, and they got this fossil and that fossil, and you go to the museums and they got the, you know, the hairy guys and the cavemen set up, and they say these are, you know, your ancestors and all that. And when God wrote Genesis, had Moses write Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3, that's what happened. And don't be tricked or fooled into thinking that, you know, well, because that rock looks older than that rock, you know, the earth must be billions and millions of years old. No, there's answers for all that in the Scriptures. God answers all those claims. But it's unbelieving man who invents these fantasies, and they invent them to get around the fact that they're sinners. Because if man accepts the fact that he's a sinner, if you say you're a sinner, you're saying that there's a God. Okay? If you say because who are you sinning against? Comes down to the point. And if you're talking with someone, and if you can get them to admit they're a sinner, well, a sinner proves who you're sinning against. It proves that there is a God. So really, the greatest evidence for God, or one of the greatest evidences for God, is the fact that you sin. If you ever think of it that way, just the fact that you sin, that you create problems, proves there's a God. Because if there was no God, who are you sinning against? There'd be no issue of sin, no issue of guilt, no issue of consciousness, oh, I did something wrong. But anyway, back into Romans chapter 12, we're talking about the Adam and Christ. In Adam, verse 12, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And we're going to drop down to verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Adam brought in an offense. He brings in an offense. But then there's this other thing contrary to an offense. So is the free gift. We're going to put free gift over here. That's going to come from Christ. We'll see that in a minute. So Adam brings in an offense, but Christ is going to bring in a free gift. For through the offense of one, many be dead. Because of the offense, because of sin, many are dead. So in Adam, you're finding nothing but what? Death. Nothing but sin. For through the offense of one, many be dead. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ. So in Jesus Christ, we find the grace of God, which stands contradictory to the offense. We find a gift, this free gift, this gift is given by grace. And that's all found, that all came about because of one man, Jesus Christ. So Paul's starting to set up this thing. You got one man, Adam, and there's another one man, Christ. And what we're going to find out as we get into this, you're going to be in either one of these two people. You're going to be in Adam, or you're going to be in Christ. And if you're in Adam, you're part of sin, which brings death. You're part of the offense, which makes all men dead. But if you're part of Christ, this is what you find in Christ. You find a free gift. You find the grace of God. You find that this gift is being given by God's grace. Verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. In Adam, there's a judgment to condemnation. So if you're in Adam, these are the things you get. This is what you're going to find true about yourself. You have a judgment unto condemnation. But the free gift, it is of many offenses unto justification. If you're in Christ, there's a judgment to justification. Okay? So in Adam, this is what you have. And in Christ, this is what you're going to find. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, so because of Adam's offense, what reigns over here? Death reigns. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Over here we find abundance of grace in the gift, a gift of righteousness. That's what this gift is up here, that free gift he was talking about. That gift, that free gift, is of righteousness. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. So in Adam, he repeats that, hey, you're all condemned. Even so, by the righteousness of one, The free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Over here, what reigns? Life reigns. In Adam, death reigns. In Christ, life reigns. In Adam, there's sin. In Christ, there's the gift of righteousness. In Adam, there's offense. In Christ, there's grace. Verse 18. Therefore, of Romans chapter 5. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment, of one, that was Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. In Adam, you're what? Disobedient. Disobedient. I spelled that wrong, but you got the point. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And we've got that up here. You can be made righteous. That stands opposed to disobedient. So in Adam, there's sin, there's death. You're offending God. You death reigns. You're disobedient. You're walking in condemnation. But in Christ, it's the exact opposite of everything you find true in Adam. You find a free gift of righteousness where you find where grace reigns. You find God's righteousness that He gives to you. You find life. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one many shall be made righteousness. Verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. In Adam, you're going to find that the law entered to show how much sin there is. In the law is given to show that man's a sinner. But when sin abounded, grace did much more abound. We find grace in Christ. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign to righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And in Adam, sin reigns. And sin brings death. In Christ, grace reigns. And so much grace that it what? It's over and above the amount of sin that Adam commits. But where sin abound, verse 20, grace did much more abound. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Finally, in Christ you find eternal life. Life that never ends. Life that can never be ruined by sin. Life that can never be condemned. Life that can never be ceased. Life that can never be touched by Adam. So in these two men, Adam and Christ, you find the separation of all of mankind. There's no other person in here. There's no third option. You're either part of Adam, or as we're finding out in 2 Corinthians, you're either in Christ. Now, if you had to pick between the two, who are you going to pick? Christ. I mean, who wants to stay in Adam with all this terrible condemnation on you? I mean, there's nothing good you find in Adam. There wasn't one good thing Christ said about Adam in this whole passage, was there? Adam's, you know, ability to build huge skyscrapers. Adam's ability to make a lot of money. Adam's ability to be good. Did you find Adam saying, well, if he tries, you know, did you find God saying, well, if Adam tries hard, he can actually be good and save himself from this? No. Adam is completely worthless, useless, and condemned. Completely disobedient to God. And yet on the opposite end of Christ, you find everything God wants to give man through grace. Everything that counters all the bad stuff in Adam. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 45. we'll start in verse 44. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. We're going to find that Adam is natural and Christ is going to be spiritual. Paul says, hey, and who did he just tell us in 2 Corinthians not to look after? The flesh. You're not to look after the flesh, because he's going to be pointing us to all the wonderful things we have in Christ. But let's keep going down, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. So Adam is a living soul. Okay? That's what makes people function. You have a living soul. But Christ, the last Adam, and that's Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit. A quickening spirit is one that can give life to what? The spirit. He's a quickening spirit. He's one that can take... Quickening means to take something that's dead and give it life. So in Christ, he can take a dead spirit and make it alive. So in Adam, Adam's a living soul. But we know that man has also a spirit. What do you think you get from Adam in your spirit? It's dead. Adam can't pass on a living spirit. He passes on a living soul. And that's how unbelievers and all people are born. They're born into the world with a living soul. But their spirit is dead. And the reason people can be born and function and think and move around and play football and go to school and learn and everything is because they have a living soul. But the problem with man is that his spirit's dead. That's why when Christ comes, he's called a what? A quickening spirit. He's one who can take your dead spirit that you're born and he can give it life. And he can give it life. Verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first thing that comes in is natural, and then you become spiritual. The natural is always first. The first Adam was first, and then later came the spiritual. Just as we were born into this world natural, but we need to become spiritual. And that's why you have the opportunity to accept Christ as your Savior and be alive and awakened spiritually. Verse 47. You have the first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So in Adam, all your affections, all your desires are going to be what? Earthly. But in Christ, they're heavenly. Because Christ isn't interested anymore with the earthly things of this life. Because as you're seeing, they're all what? Trash. Garbage. Condemned. Christ is going to be interested in his spiritual kingdom in the heavenlies. You know, when what's that over there in Philippians? Why don't we turn there real quick? I mean, these things should start to be connecting. What is it? Where you set your affections on things above?
Colossians 3.
Oh, that Colossians 3. Sorry. Colossians 3. Oh, I think in Philippians, I was thinking of your citizenship is in heaven. That's in Philippians. Well, let's go to Colossians 3 real quick. Verse 2. Colossians 3, 2. Well, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, if you're in Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And the reason you do that is because that's where your life is. That's because Christ is in the heavenlies, preparing heavenly things. And Adam prepares earthly things. But if you're in Christ, what do you think you should be doing? Doing the things that Christ is doing. In the heavenlies. Go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, we were in chapter 15. Verse 48. Verse 47, the first man is the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. You see, Adam is concerned with things of the flesh, things on this world. Christ is concerned with things in the heavens, with the spiritual realm. Adam's concerned with the flesh. Christ is working in the spiritual. And as you're going to find out, the one that's more important, the one that lasts forever, is the spiritual. Because the earthly, what's going to happen to the earth and everything in it eventually?
Burned up.
It's going to get all burned up. He's going to have to make it new. But what's going to last? Where do you find eternal life? Did you find it over here in Adam, in the flesh? Or do you find it in the spiritual? You find it in Christ in the spiritual. Verse 48. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. There's an image that you bear. And there's also an image over here that you bear. And as we get into these things, the putting on the new and what the old things are passed away, you can walk in one of these too. Verse 49, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit corruption. The flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So if you're an Adam, you cannot get into God's kingdom. But if you're in the Spirit, you can. You do inherit. These are wonderful things when you start to itemize them and see in Adam, this is what you get. Nothing but bad news. In Christ, there's nothing but good news. Now this I say, verse 50, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Over here in Adam, you have corruption. Over here in Christ, you have incorruption. Boy, God can't make it any plainer to you, can He? That everything in Adam, is there one nice word over there? Is there one positive thing He said about Adam? Is there one thing you can hang your hat on in Adam and be like, woohoo, I'm not that bad? No. I mean, He's given us, in English class you learned, you know, what an adjective is. An adjective is used to describe something. And sometimes the more adjectives, the better, because it gives you a better sense of what something is. You know, you can say, what's the weather outside? Well, we describe the weather with adjectives. It's raining, it's cold, it's, you know, if it is raining, it's, you know, pouring, or it's a mist, and it gives you a better description. Well, we have Adam, and Christ is giving us a bunch of adjectives to try and get it through our thick heads just how bad it is in Adam. You're corrupted, you're dead, you're a sinner, you're condemned, you're disobedient, you break the law. I mean, He's giving us all these things to try and say, hey, there's nothing really good about you. But in Christ, He gives us the complete opposites. Verse 51, He's going to go through how this change can happen. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And that's how this mechanism, our point is not to go through the mechanism of when this is actually physically going to be taking place for you and you're going to get your new body, but it's going to happen just like that. And we shall be raised incorruptible. If you're in Christ, this is what you have as your future. Verse 53, for this corruptible, this flesh that I walk around in, must put on incorruption. In this mortal, in Adam you have mortal, must put on immortality. Do you know if you're in Christ, you're immortal? If you went up to somebody on the street and you told them, you know, I'm immortal, they're going to think you're nuts. But you are. Is there a greater thing you can have other than immortality, where you can never die? You can't die. We have in Christ immortality. That's like, you watch all these sci-fi shows and movies. One of the greatest things, or one of the greatest plots that they always are after is what? Immortality. No one ever wants to die. So you got all these movies out there, a lot of them, and a lot of them as their theme have, they're trying to gain immortality. Or if someone dies, what do they try and do? Bring them back to life so they can keep on living. But God says, in Christ, you have immortality. Verse 54. For when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass a saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, in Adam, there's nothing but sin, the law, and death. Does that sound like victory to you? Does that sound like something you're gonna get up every day and be happy about? You want to know why the world's depressed? Because that's what they're living in. They're living in sin and death. Who'd want to get out of bed with those two thoughts in your head? But in Christ, what do we find? Verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. There's victory as opposed to defeat. In Christ, you have victory over sin. You have victory over law. You have victory over death. All those things that hold true in Adam are no longer true in Christ. And these are the two men that God puts up in Scripture as you are either a part of Adam or you are a part of Christ. And this goes to the basic fundamental of who you are. Who do you define yourself? You know, define yourself as, you know, a wealthy, you know, businessman, or define yourself through, you know, you can make the last shot of the big game and win it for everybody. Define yourself as, you know, the best whatever you're doing. That's not how you define. God defines you one of these two ways. He looks past, okay, great, you can, you know, bat, you know, 350 and play in the All-Star game and hit 20 home runs a year. Oh, great. No, he looks past that. He looks at who you are internally, and he says, you're an Adam, and if you're an Adam, that's true of you. Your batting average isn't going to change any of that. The amount of money in your bank account is not going to change any of this. What you can run in a mile, or what you can read and put together, what good deeds you can do, isn't going to change any of that. But in Christ, he says, that's all true of you. And you know, if your batting average and the amount of money doesn't affect who you are in Adam, do you think your batting average or amount of money is going to change who you are in Christ? Do you think if God cares if you got a yacht and, you know, 20 sports cars, does that change anything in Adam? No. Does it change anything if you're in Christ? No. Because God doesn't care about those things. This is what He cares about. He cares about if you're in Adam or if you're in Christ. Because these are the things that last forever. He cares about if you're minding the earthly things, and he cares about the fact that if you're an Adam, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's what he cares about. He cares about the fact that you're a sinner, and that you have nothing but death to look forward to. Those are the things that he cares about. Not these other minor things that have no bearing on who you are and what your eternal future is going to be. When you have your eternal future hanging in the balance, do you think it really matters whether you get an A or B on your next test? No. This is the stuff that matters to God. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. We're here. Let's go 1 Corinthians. Let's see, 50. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondmaid and the other by the free woman. And here God's going to give us another example. Just as we can be in Adam and in Christ, He's going to bring it up again. He's going to say, Abraham had two sons. One was going to be under the law, and one was going to be free. You're going to find that Adam is underneath the law. He's a son of the bondwoman, and Christ is free. In verse 22, for as it is written that Abraham had two sons. Verse 23, but he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he who was of the free woman was by promise. In Adam, those that are born after the flesh are born in bondage. Those in Christ are free. Those in Christ have promise. Which is wonderful. But in the flesh, you're bound. You're bound by your sin. You're bound by the law. You're bound by condemnation. It's terrible. Verse 23, but he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he who was of the free woman was born was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, in answer to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. If you're in the flesh, you're earthly things, you're minding these things, and there's bondage and corruption there. But if you're in Christ, and you have promise, and you're free, you're part of spiritual Jerusalem. You're part of Jerusalem that's out there. That's one day going to come down here, and that's your citizenship. That's what you're going to be part of. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. But we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise, because we're not in the flesh. If you're in Christ, you're children of the promise. But he that was born after the flesh persecuteth him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. That tells you that the flesh is going to what? Persecute those in the Spirit. That's what happens. What does God say? All that will live godly shall suffer persecution. You know where that persecution comes from? Those living in the flesh. Adam, people in Adam hate people in Christ. People in Adam will persecute and hunt and seek to destroy all those in Christ. There's a war going on out there between Adam and Christ, between the flesh and the Spirit, between those in bondage and those who are free, between those who are corrupted and disobedient and those who have righteousness and eternal life. There's a battle there. Verse 29, but he that was born after the flesh persecuteth him that was born after the Spirit. Even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. In Adam, they cannot inherit what you can inherit in Christ. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Christ has made you free. If you're in Christ, you've been made free from this. There's bondage over here. There's liberty over here. What I'm trying to get you guys to see is the big picture of who you are internally. You're either here or here. There's no in between. There's nothing else that matters. You're either going to be in Adam or in Christ. And if you're saved and you've placed your faith in Christ, you become part of all this. How wonderful that is. So when, let's go back to 2 Corinthians. And we'll touch more on some of those other things in Galatians in the upcoming weeks where he says, cast out the bondwoman. Those are instructions to you as you're in your Christian life. And you start to grow and understand these things and you see these things still in your life. You know what you're supposed to do with those? Cast them out. When you see the law creep up in your thoughts and you see that bondage and that sin creeping up in your life, you're supposed to cast it out and have no part in it. We'll get to that later when we get to the next half of this verse, but back in chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, isn't that awesome? You know what he just told you? He just told you, you can be where? In Christ. You know, it's one thing to put these two things up there, knowing you were born over here, put my name over here. I was born in Adam. And it's one thing to know, oh boy, this is all true about Adam, this is all true about Christ, but you know what, I was born over here, I don't know how I'm going to get over there. But God just told me that I can be where? In Christ. That's incredible. I can leave this behind and be transferred over into Christ. Where do I got to be? I got to be where? In Christ. And he just said, I can't be. And you know how we do that? This all happens by faith. Turn over to Galatians. Well, we were just in Galatians. Galatians. Chapter 3, verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are one in Christ. You understand now why God doesn't care what your background is? Why God doesn't care if you're what you're position is in the flesh. He doesn't care if you're Jew or Gentile, because all that is useless to him. He can say it now. I don't care. In Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ. See, but we have become that, verse 26, we are all the children by faith. Faith in Christ. You have to place your faith in Him, and in what He says, and what He did for you. And when Christ died on the cross, He died on the cross to pay the penalty that Adam brought in, and now He offers as a free gift Himself. And He says, if you believe in that, you'll be where? In Christ. See, salvation comes when you become part of Christ. You know, nowhere in Scripture does it ever ask you to invite God into your life. Nowhere does it say you have to invite God into your heart. You're supposed to join who? Christ. You don't ask Him to join you. You join Him. It's always in Christ. Our salvation message today is you placing your faith where? In Christ. Not Him. Not you asking Him to become part of I'm getting confused now.
Invest in you.
Invest in you is what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say everything is in Christ. See, a lot of preachers have changed this around where Christ needs to invest Himself in you. And you need to ask Him to come into your life. No, the way Scripture set it up is that you put your faith in Him. And there's this notion out there that you got to invite God into your heart. No, you need to be in Him. And I know it's like cutting, when you're cutting something, gnats or whatever. It might be minor, but I want you to get the point. Cutting hairs, splitting hairs. But it's all about you placing your faith in Him and becoming part of Him. And when you do that, He makes you in Christ. And as we get into this thing next week of this new creature that you're made, it's a new creature. It's a different life. And so when He said, it's always placing your faith in Him, because everything is in Christ. So our salvation message should be one of, hey, you need to believe in Him. You need to believe in Christ. You need to become part of Him. Now, it might be splitting hairs with what I was saying a minute ago, but I think I'm trying to get the point is that life is found here. It's not Him coming over and trying to manipulate something in your heart. Your heart's evil. That's why this new creation, go back to 2 Corinthians, is so important. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. There's this new creature that you're going to be made. Something completely new and outside of anything God could have worked in your heart. It's something brand new. And it's something awesome. And it's all of this. It's everything that Christ has is going to be made new to you. And we'll get into that stuff next week. But you have to have a solid understanding of Adam and Christ. Those are the two men in Scripture. One is fleshly, one is spiritual. One is corrupted, one is incorrupted. One is sinful, one is obedient. These are the two that everybody finds themselves in. And we are to be, God implores man to be where? In Christ. Because it's in Him you're going to find life and liberty and peace and joy. And we're going to see over the next week or two how this all works in your life. And how wonderful this is. And how and this is everything. This is so wonderful when you understand what you have in Christ. And what He's made you. You have this as a present possession. I'm glad people can think ahead for me as I'm... You know the word I'm trying to get, but you know, I keep telling my wife that I think I'm losing my head, because sometimes I'll be telling a story and I forget what I'm trying to... You know, somebody... We were at the hospital and somebody told us of a name that their son was at somewhere, and we get in the car. This is literally like 20 seconds later, and Lori's writing the name down on a piece of paper, and I tried to think of the name and I couldn't. I'm like, I can't think of that name. She just told it to me 20 seconds ago. But anyway, it's these two. You have to be in Christ. And this is so important to me, is that it's in Him that you find all these things. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And you can probably start to see where we're going with this. What are the old things you think are passed away? All this. And what are the new things that are here? All this. And as we get into this in the next few weeks, this is going to be so wonderful to us. It should just lift you up with the liberty that Christ has given us. But the more you understand this, the more you appreciate this new man that God's made you to be. So let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank You for Your word. We thank You for the clarity. We thank You for the simplicity and of it. And how that You don't give man an out. You're very clear that man is corrupt, that man is a sinner, that man needs a Savior. And you make it very clear that there's nothing good in man, nothing that can earn him eternal life. But yet, on the other hand, you're very clear in that you love him. And you sent your son to die on the cross. And if man just simply believes in you and puts his faith in you and believes that you died on the cross and paid for our sins and that you rose again the third day, we can be made one in Christ. And when we're in Christ, we have eternal life and salvation, and we have immortality. What a wonderful future we have. And our citizenship is in heaven. May we, during this week, keep our focus on that. In your name, amen.